4 o'clock. Nice to have you with us. Lions preseason opener later tonight. A couple things we want to take care of this hour. First of all, we did a couple hours on Jared Goff. A really goofy player ranking voted on by NFL players. Goff not a top 10 QB. It makes no sense to us. Odyssey.com rewind if you want it. Cash the ticket. We're punting until Monday because Jim Costa died. He can't talk. He sounds
big difference.
He sounds like, well, in radio, you're dead. He can't talk in an audio format. He sounds like the suit guy.
You're going to love the way you look. I guarantee it.
Yeah, well, I guarantee we're not previewing conferences when you sound this way. So we'll get back to it on Monday. I have a Deion Sanders thing for you later, but I want to talk to Kenny about this.
Okay.
Kenny represents a portion of our audience that you and I don't understand. In essence, they are aliens. Kenny is not excited for tonight's game. He's over the moon for tonight's game. He's all pumped up. He's going to throw a one-man party. His girlfriend's not home. He is going all out for the game tonight. So
inappropriate pizza night?
Oh, he's going ethnically insensitive branding. I just
I'll send you guys a picture of the box.
Nope.
I don't know, man.
That's a drop. No. So listen. I mean, dude, you've worked too long on this show. You can't.
The first sentence I think I said on the air today, and that's what comes out.
What do you want me to say, man? First, you got rid of black jobs, and now look at you. No, I want to understand that. I want to know if there are people willing to support you. I want to know if there are people actually excited about tonight. And if so, what the hell are you watching? Like, Kenny, what is it you're looking for tonight?
So it's a little bit about depth, but more or less it's about, as a Lions fan, I look back at my 30 years of Lions fandom, and this was the first time that I was actually bought and sold on a football team, right? So like most years, I'd approach preseason football and training camp and all of this as just a nothing burger, as a gigantic, you know, it doesn't mean anything. And largely, I still feel that way, like logically. But as a fan, this is the first time I've been able to go into a preseason and go, we got a team here. Look at us. Now I actually can watch a game and not think that there's absolutely, it's a waste of time. Mike may end up being right. We may end up getting two or three drives in and me going, well, I don't know why I did this.
It might be two or three plays.
Maybe. It might be. But up until this point in my Lions fandom, I've never been in this position before. I've never experienced this side before. I've never seen what a winning team looks like before. So it's like the drug dealer gives you that first taste. Now I'm back.
So how long before you think you hit that Shawshank moment where you just turn the channel and start watching that movie?
Hopefully not before halftime, okay. But my hopes are not high. But yeah, no, I am excited about it. Maybe I'm wrong for being excited about it, but
no, it's
I assume
wrong.
There's more fans that are like me.
Well, I want to hear from them. If you are truly excited for tonight's game and you think Rico and I are the old men Muppet guys at the opera, just tell us what exactly you're looking for tonight. Because you know my thought on this. I just want everyone to stay healthy and have fun. Yeah. None of what takes place tonight means a thing.
And when Dan Campbell comes out and says, I'm not playing any of my starters, that's not helping the cause for me. Like, oh, I'm excited. Unless you're into Jake Bates and him kicking field goals in the rain. That's about it.
That is my point to Kenny, because he's excited. Oh, he has a winning team. He's been sold about this team. He wants to see winning. But none of the guys that are going to help this team win in the regular season, like Campbell said, is playing tonight. Right. No Goff, no Brown, no Sewell, no Gibbs, none of them.
Well, you can't talk, though, because you all in on Steelers football. So don't give Kenny a hard time, because you're going to be dialed in on the NFL Network watching your Steelers.
Because we have to figure things out. The guys that we're going to depend on have to play, and I will see them in the preseason.
It'll all fall into place once you get a wide receiver.
Justice for thee and not for me. That's what that sounds like. Mm-hmm. You sound like a real Michigan fan.
It's just a cheeseburger.
Wait, sorry. What did Kenny have to say there?
How did you get that so fast?
Because when we hear audio we like, we make sure we really get there. Like the day you said that you hated minority jobs. I mean, we had to have that.
This has been a banner month for me, I got to tell you.
You poor bastard. You're right. It's like the first thing you said today, and it's that.
Every day, Kenny's out there picketing as soon as I park. Get rid of black jobs.
I was talking about a pizza box. A pizza box.
Not as bad as what these guys did to me with the talking about helmets, and this cat turned me into Donald Sterling.
I mean,
you really are special.
You don't like the color ones. What can I say?
I don't like the red NC State helmets. They look like clown noses.
Exactly. That's what we said.
David, the ticket text, please.
You guys are just overthinking it. It's football. It's back. There's pads popping, people hitting quarterbacks, being thrown to the ground. Hopefully, I am excited about it. It will be enjoyable. Someone else says, I am excited to watch for a few reasons. Want to see how the new kickoff rule works and want to see how the new uniforms look. But it is also football.
Oh, yeah, they're doing the 313 jerseys tonight. Oh,
no, for sure. I think. Something about that, yeah. With the,
now, it's the new back. Uniforms could be something that you wouldn't. I'm not excited. Let me be very clear. I'm not excited about it. But if you told me, look, I just want to see the new look on a football field. Okay, that makes sense to me. But again, that's like four plays.
The kickoff rule. Yeah, for me, like I wanted to watch the Hall of Fame game. Okay, I watched a couple kickoffs. Not what I thought it was going to be. Okay, sure, fine. And then I was done with it. Go ahead, David.
Watching Lions preseason is better than watching Javi play baseball, someone says.
Okay, literally. I won't say it. I was going to say something.
We're already killed off Costa. Go ahead.
We're too close to the weekend. I don't want to get in trouble. There are lots of things in this world better than watching Javi play baseball. And we'll just leave it there.
Joe and Howe says, it's exciting because none of the starters are playing tonight. We want to see the players battling for roster spots. Watching the starters in an exhibition game is silly.
God help me. We want to see the guys battling for roster spots. Cutscene. Said players never hit the field if your team is any good.
That's a great point.
This is what Doug and Scott do. They talk about, oh, this guy's the ninth gunner on the team. And I'm like, and?
Someone says, I'm very excited to see Hooker play, to see if he's a quality backup or possibly trade him, RJ in Westland.
But can his stock really improve that much that he becomes a trade object?
Not in a preseason.
No, the only way his stock would improve is things would have to happen that I'm not going to put into the universe, and then he would have to play and be amazing over a long stretch of a season. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in any of it. Once again, Rico and I, like Voltron, we have been aligned on this. That pick was stupid.
Someone says, I'm excited for tonight just because it's the start of football season. Not so much as the game, as I will only have it on the background as I play Fortnite. That is Ken stuck on M59.
What are you, 12?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Isn't that, grown that man, that's for please. Kids.
That's like for my kids.
That's yes. A cartoon game. That's not even like Madden.
No, not at all.
Fortnite, loser. College
football. Oh, my buddy's got a son.
No, college football is not the same as Fortnite.
No.
I'm building Texas Tech here.
Okay, you know, as somebody likes to say, I like children's movies. Apparently, I don't like
and
children's games.
And this is why Kenny's against black jobs, right here, this moment. Right here.
How am I catching strays here? Come on.
This moment.
I was told I like children's movies, so isn't this a children's game?
The Fortnite thing is, college football, you are leading digital warriors to battle.
Mm-hmm.
You're shaping lives.
Real people.
Should I leave Tech and take the OC job at Kansas?
No. That's terrible. I was going to say it's an awful move. How bad are you doing in Tech? Good God.
Oh, no. I almost took my team to the college football playoff in year one.
Guns up. I love Tech.
So what happens to your old team?
No, I'm still there.
I mean, if you leave and get a new job, what happens?
F them.
I go get those recruits in the transfer portal is what I do.
Daddy's got to go and get paid over there. He don't care about them. Okay. Maybe if they were better, he would have stayed. How did we get on this again?
I'm sorry. He's talking about it being a kid's game.
About a children's game. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
Go ahead, David.
Excited because it means football is finally back. There doesn't need to be more to it. That's it. It's football.
All right. Calm down. But I would argue it's not football.
It's not football, but there is a little bit of that. It's been a while since we've seen actual football.
What is the scene at your apartment tonight?
It's a great question.
Do you want to set that scene for everybody when we return?
Sure.
We'll get to the calls. I want to hear, like, what the hell Kenny's world is. He's treating this like he's on spring break tonight. I want to hear about this. Now, if I get uncomfortable, we're just going to cut your mic. I'm just telling you.
Just Kenny and the cat chilling at the crib.
All right. Okay, I could say something, but won't do that. Let's just... by the way, if you're into Olympic sports and like, oh, go Team USA, they are getting destroyed by Serbia right now in basketball. You don't mess with Jokic, especially off-season Jokic. Did you see him running down the court? He was puffing a heater.
Mm-hmm.
He don't care.
And still gets a triple-double.
Yeah. All right, nothing like Jokic. He is built different. Let's go to the people. Go to Darren, who's up next, 97.1. Hi, Darren. How you doing?
Hey, Mike, how are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Hey, Rico, you guys are the best. I love listening to you guys.
Thanks. What's going on?
Super excited about football tonight. Father of three men, so I don't do a whole lot, and I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but I love my sports.
Okay, fair enough. So, like, tonight, what are you looking for?
Just some excitement, seeing what we got coming up and who and what spots are going to be taken. Look for some tastefulness in the jerseys, maybe, and put it all together and hope for a good night of football.
Yeah, the uniform thing, I'm with you on. Like, it's cool if your team's debuting a new look, you get to see it, and that's fine. The thing I struggle with is the whole, well, what spots are going to get taken, etc. And it's like, do you really care, or is that just something you convince yourself of?
I kind of care because what we get to see tonight is what's up and coming. Like Hendon Hooker, I know not everybody's big on him, but we get to see what he can bring if something were to happen.
Okay. No problem. You're right. But again, Darren, what I would caution you, I want you to be excited. Kenny, I'm not trying to ruin your night. We're going to hear more about that in a moment. Teams don't run anything schematically in the preseason. So Hendon Hooker will be facing strictly vanilla soft serve defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to get anything out of that. But that's okay. You want to see him upright. You want to see both legs attached. Respect. Kenny, just real quick before we get back to the phone.
Yeah.
Set the scene for us. It's a big night for you. You're excited. Girlfriend is working late.
Girlfriend's working late, so it's going to be... No. Only Hendon Hooker, maybe. No, we're going to be watching. I think we're going to do a shandy because it's still relatively nice out. And it's a nice little long-haul drink, too, so you're not going to get too blasted just watching a football game.
All right,
that
so
is not the plan.
Shandy's chilled.
Shandy's chilled.
Okay.
Your ethnically insensitive pizza, I think I'm going to have some of that.
Just keep it going.
Always good on a football. No. I'm going to just move past that. No, it's going to be shandy. It's going to be pizza. I might mix in some wings depending on how I feel.
What's the weed quotient?
There is no, I don't know why you paint me as this big weed guy. I'm not.
Because you bought your girlfriend a dong bong. Because
she's a weed person, not me.
Wait, so she's a pothead and you don't partake?
Not usually, man. It's not my vibe. Especially because drinking and then weed at the same time is never a fun combination.
That's a horrible.
100%. Thank you, DJ David, over here. He's lining up my night perfectly.
Right, there's a Team USA. Go ahead.
I love the fact I don't have to hit a button. David's assassinating Kenny at every turn.
I'm assassinating myself, creating drops already.
Now, what happens, like, the second half of this game? There's no way you're still...
It's quickly going to become background noise. It may end up playing the show on one screen with the Georgia Bacons, with the Lions on the other screen.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Do you turn over and start watching Shawshank Redemption?
Well, to the question of why to watch this game, it's less about, you know, what I'm looking for schematically. I just want to know that, because we talk about this all the time, there's no such thing as being 100% healthy across a football season. I just want to know that we have people with a pulse that can step in and fill in a couple of snaps if necessary.
Okay.
That's really all my goal is, to watch this game.
Okay.
Nothing more, nothing less. I'm not going to be like Doug and Scott drawing up the schematics of each play going, man, DPJ looked great that down.
You're baiting me, and I'm not going
to do
it.
I was about
to
say.
What do you mean?
Nope.
Not going to do it.
DPJ?
No.
They're going to be watching, man. Every snap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Breakdown tomorrow.
Okay. You know what, Mike?
From 10 to 2.
Mike. I'm sorry, Mike. I agree with whatever you're saying right now.
Right. Yes. That I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, what's going on?
Hey, I'm 62 years old, and I think that for the first time in my life, they're actually going to have people that get cut that other teams are going to pick up and want to play. I think the tight ends, the linebackers that we cut, actually might start somewhere on another team, somewhere in football, for the first time in my life.
It's actually an interesting point.
Excited.
Yeah, you're right. Your roster's built up to a point that, hey, let's face it, like my team, your backups could probably play for the Giants. So you're probably right.
Holmes is such a stud that we're actually going to be in this weird position where we're going to cut players that other teams covet. It's exciting to me.
That's okay.
I never thought I would like that.
It's why we brought it up. Beyond it's football or just it's something to do, like, is there something more? Because the problem with preseason football I've always had, I remember, obviously, you got to go back a long time, but when I was younger, I would always be excited because it was football. And the problem is, you'd start to watch the game, and you're bored by the second series. You're like, this is terrible. This is awful. And they've got like a carpenter at running back. Like, who?
Yeah. Normally for me, it was once the starting lineup went out, I was done. Just
and again,
unless it was like some obscure player that you liked on the team that you wanted to see him make a catch or run the ball.
And I agree with the way Campbell does it, by the way. I don't want the starters to play. I think if you're a Super Bowl caliber team, you got every right to sit everybody. I'm good with that.
See, that leads me to wonder, then why is Mahomes playing?
Because they do it a different way over there. Mahomes doesn't like joint practices. Seriously. Mm-hmm. He'd rather sit in those, play in that. You do get to a point where a guy like Mahomes, he's like the new Jordan, LeBron, whatever.
Right.
He does get to call his own shot a little bit.
True, but it's one of those, like, I would have to say, hey, nothing good can come out of this game. I don't need you to play, but he wants to play in all the preseason games.
Let's go to Robert, 97.1. What's up, Robert?
Not too much, guys. Love the show. I would say in this order, definitely the uniform reveal, seeing him for the first time in live action. That'll be neat. I'm interested to see, is Hooker, is he good? I mean, obviously he was great in college, but I remember the roadside is littered with Andre Ware's and whatnot that frankly looked great in college. And I remember his first preseason game, 52, and he looked lost out there, like deer in the headlights. And you're thinking, it's preseason, he'll get better. It never got better. So that's exciting to me. And then the list of depth guys, like you got like the Levi play. I don't know, maybe Broderick Martin. That'd be fun to watch him play. Betts, the CFL guy. You know, those fringe guys that if you're a complete football nerd, you're like, and not schematically, but just do they look like they can physically play, I guess. I think that's exciting, at least for maybe an hour or so.
So you just nailed it for a little bit, and then you quickly realize, okay.
Because I was going to say, Robert, do you have a big night plan for this game?
No, and then I'll pivot over to my MLB network and look at my FanDuel bets and see if I, had a good night or not.
Now, Robert, can I ask you a question? Yeah. If you don't want to answer it, it's fine.
Sure.
You don't bet on preseason football, do you?
No,
thank
that
God.
That would be akin to betting on pro. I think there's a line for the Pro Bowl too. No, I don't do that. I'd rather save my money for silly 8-leg parlays that I might hit.
And I wanted to make sure we could finish the call with the same respect I had for you at the start of it, so I had to ask.
Another big one. Well, how lost will Giovanni Manu look out there?
Oh, God, the Canadian kid without a profile picture?
Yeah. That could be funny, in Aaron Gibson sort of disaster way. I don't know.
Please don't put his name with Aaron Gibson.
Please don't invoke his name. He weighs less than 500 pounds. Don't do that.
And speaking of betting, currently Serbia is, they're now 2.5-point favorites to win this game over Team USA.
I'm glad you care. You really care about Team USA?
I don't. I just happened to pull up the betting. I just wanted to see what the betting line was.
Speaking of betting, by the way, Lions getting 4.5. So there's that. I might just take the money line plus 175.
I may have to listen to Cash a Ticket. No. Which team should I have taken?
Neither. Because I would be the first person to tell you if you bet on this, call the number. You're insane. No, you can't bet on this.
Total 35.5. Over under.
Kenny? Kenny, promise me you're not betting on it. Please don't do this.
What's the first half total?
Okay.
You know, great question. I'll get that to you shortly, Rico.
Nope. Lions discussion, couple of notes. A, Steph Curry basically single-handedly pulled Team USA from the fire.
Yeah, he did.
10 three-pointers. They're going to beat Serbia by 3 or 4 points.
Hit the two free throws.
I think the thing that's off-putting to me is, like, I watch so much NBA basketball, and, like, I think Durant is a dog, right? And not in a complimentary
way. Oh, okay.
Oh, but here today, screaming, yelling, all into it. And I'm like, bro, where was that when the Suns needed you last year?
The defense and getting a turnover at half court. Like, wow. Because we were laughing, saying, I guess if they lose, he's going to say, I want to be traded to Serbia.
Right, I must have missed where Team USA is paying you $60 million a year. But no, I wanted to just ask you this. You have spent a lot of time in college locker rooms and practices, 7-on-7s, recruiting, and you know, I just want to know, A, the believability of what I'm about to read to you. And then maybe just, like, have you ever been around or seen something like this? These reports out of Colorado, which I don't totally believe, and I don't totally say no way. But Athlon talked to some former players. Quote, Deion Sanders' Colorado program, it's like a real-life Grand Theft Auto video game. One former player said, there are distractions with fights, guns, and money floating around. The environment is unlike any I've come from before. So you read the whole thing. There are stories of players being forced to fight to prove their toughness. There are stories of one player sent someone in to collect a $10,000 gambling debt. Like, these are things where you're like, wait a second. Another story, days after a melee, the son of Kevin Mathis, who is Colorado's defensive backs coach, was asked to pay a player over a gambling debt in excess of $10,000. That's according to a former CU player. When Mathis refused, he allegedly proceeded to punch Allen repeatedly in the locker room. Players and coaches witnessing the assault. Allen allegedly refused to discuss the matter, fearing repercussions due to Mathis's connection to the coaching staff. I won't read the rest. I do encourage you to read the whole report. My question to you, Rico, level of believability, and have you ever seen anything like that?
Level of believability, Mike?
Scale 1 to 10, call it.
I'm going to go about a 7 or 8.
Oh, dear God.
I do, because when a story is so ridiculous, it's normally true, because it's almost like you can't make this stuff up.
Like a guy in spy glasses in an opponent's
correct.
Stadium. Yes?
Yeah, no.
David, I did it for you.
No,
come
on.
But
it was like, wait, is this real? But it was so over the top. Like, and then you saw, like, yeah, it really was true. Like, you couldn't put this in a Hollywood movie, because I would say, no, that doesn't really happen. But when you hear former players coming out and saying that, and maybe this is the reason why it's a turnstile, people transfer in and then they turn around and transfer right back out. And Deion has the, you know, everybody wants to be his buddy and pal, so nobody's going to say anything bad about him. That, yeah, I do think that.
I'm pretty sure Joel Klatt's drawing him a bath right now.
I mean, it basically sounds like the way Suge Knight ran Death Row Records.
Okay, so you've hit on something. Now, I admit this. I loved the idea of Deion Sanders because I'm in the interesting business. Deion coaching a team is interesting. But what I've seen so far, when you get beyond Gus and Joel, you know, giving Deion a massage every week, and we look at the actuality of it, I can't tell you how disappointed I am. Because the one thing is, I remember when he was at Jackson State, always harping on players about discipline and harping on players about, you have to be better men off the field. Like, real stuff. And I went, cool. Like, all right, this could work. There's none of that now.
Mm-mm.
Now it's all just the loud stuff. So here's my question to you, right? So I was.
And before, if you say anything, well, you're just being a hater.
That's the media who does that. You know it. You know it, especially with those two Muppet babies that call Fox Big Noon. Before Cookies died, I said to him, I am leaning Colorado under this year. Their over-under is set at 5.5. Listen to this schedule. No, Cookies isn't dead. He just can't talk. He'll be back Monday. You tell me. Now, they're going to open up with what could be considered the number one FCS team, 1AA, North Dakota State. Then they're going to Nebraska. Then they're going to Colorado State. Then they're going to take on Baylor, who's ass. Then they're going to the bounce house, UCF. Then they're taking on a K-State team that's the favorite to win the Big 12 along with Utah. At Arizona, at Cincy, at Tech, home against Utah, who will dump truck them. Then they go at Kansas, which will be Arrowhead because they're not playing home games. And then they're going Okie State to finish the year. Rico, I can't find 5-6 wins in there.
No. And Mike, if everything is true, if any elements of these stories are true, they start losing, this team will fall apart because then it's just going to be us versus them.
Then here's
Deion's
my question.
Favorites versus the guys that, you know, aren't his biological
son. And this is my question to you, right? You bring Deion Sanders to run your program, and I'm willing to put up with a lot. Next year, Shadur's gone, Shiloh's gone, Justin Hunter's gone, right? Who's left? He's not recruiting. He has not taken a single recruiting visit. Not one. Mm-hmm. You can read about this.
Well,
not
and the
one.
Fact that he said, no, once Hunter and my son leave, I'm staying. That's the kiss of death. You're really leaving. Because once your kids are gone, you don't care about this team. It's like David coaching his son, and once his son moves on, I don't care about you other guys. Well, I don't care about my kids.
That's what it feels like.
Yes.
Look. I was all in favor of it.
Colorado handed him the keys, and I think this is going to be one of those things where Colorado's going to kind of feel like Michigan State did. Maybe we rewarded Mel Tucker too soon. Maybe we gave Deion the keys too soon, and we did not make him earn it.
I'm fascinated by them. I mean, if he has a nice season, respect. But, boy, I'll tell you, as this thing starts year two after I thought it was a brutal year one. They were very fortunate not to be 2-10. If you watch the games,
yeah. They
went 4-8. The reports, what's leading up to this, and then that schedule, I'm like, okay. David, a few ticket texts, if you would, and then we'll get back to the Lions.
Perfect word, disappointed. The Buffs program is simply a dumpster fire, and it will take years for someone at some point to try and fix it.
I am bummed out by it. I want Deion to succeed because I'm in the interesting business. He is interesting to me. Like, a lot of these coaches are not.
I'm going to pour out a bottle of Ragu in memory of Jim Costa tonight.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Bring some Mostaccioli to the celebration of life for James Anthony Costa. Mostaccioli.
Someone's saying, I don't know what to believe with Colorado because there are people saying that story is fake. I don't know what to believe,
but it
doesn't look good.
I agree with you. I stay in the middle on this. Rico's right. It's so salacious.
But when things are just that over the top, a lot of they're true because it's you don't make this type of stuff up. And David, I'm not trying to be funny, but yes, going back to the spyglasses and wait, you went and visited other teams and you did. Nobody does that except for somebody actually did that. So, yeah, when the story's too over the top, I tend to believe it. Just like case in point, just so people, I'm not bad. Okay, would you stop it?
Okay.
No, it's like when I remember, I forgot, I think State had just played Richmond, and I got a phone call at 1 a.m. Hey, have you heard about Mel Tucker? What? That's crazy. And I heard the story, and I'm like, God, I think this may be true because it's so crazy. Turned out to be true. So I say that to say when something is just so over the top, I give it a lot of credibility, especially when it comes to college sports. Hey, there's a guy driving the AD's car, his wife's car.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like something out of The Program, right?
Lions discussion, couple of notes. A, Steph Curry basically single-handedly pulled Team USA from the fire.
Yeah, he did.
10 three-pointers. They're going to beat Serbia by 3 or 4 points.
Hit the two free throws.
I think the thing is
the game.
I think the thing that's off-putting to me is, like, I watch so much NBA basketball, and, like, I think Durant is a dog, right? And not in a complimentary
way. Oh, okay.
Oh, but here today, screaming, yelling, all into it. And I'm like, bro, where was that when the Suns needed you last year?
The defense and getting the turnover at half court. Like, wow. Because we were laughing saying, I guess if they lose, he's going to say, I want to be traded to Serbia.
Right, I must have missed where Team USA's paying you $60 million a year. But no, I wanted to just ask you this. You have spent a lot of time in college locker rooms and practices, 7-on-7s, recruiting, and you know, I just want to know, A, the believability of what I'm about to read to you. And then maybe just like, have you ever been around or seen something like this? These reports out of Colorado, which I don't totally believe, mm-hmm. and I don't totally say no way. But Athlon talked to some former players. Quote, Deion Sanders' Colorado program, it's like a real-life Grand Theft Auto video game. One former player said, there are distractions with fights, guns, and money floating around. The environment is unlike any I've come from before. So you read the whole thing. There are stories of players being forced to fight to prove their toughness. There are stories of one player sent someone in to collect a $10,000 gambling debt. Like, these are things where you're like, wait a sec. Another story, days after a melee, the son of Kevin Mathis, who is Colorado's defensive backs coach, was asked to pay a player over a gambling debt in excess of $10,000. That's according to a former CU player. When Mathis refused, he allegedly proceeded to punch Allen repeatedly in the locker room. Players and coaches witnessing the assault. Allen allegedly refused to discuss the matter, fearing repercussions due to Mathis's connection to the coaching staff. I won't read the rest. I do encourage you to read the whole report. My question to you, Rico, level of believability, and have you ever seen anything like that?
Level of believability, Mike?
Scale 1 to 10, call it.
I'm going to go about a 7 or 8.
Oh, dear God.
I do, because when a story is so ridiculous, it's normally true, because it's almost like you can't make this stuff up.
Like a guy in spyglasses in an opponent's
correct.
Stadium. Yes.
Yeah. No.
David, I did it for you.
No.
Come
but,
on.
But it was like, wait, is this real? But it was so over the top. Like, and then you saw, like, yeah, it really was true. Like, you couldn't put this in a Hollywood movie, because I would say, no, that doesn't really happen. But when you hear former players coming out and saying that, and maybe this is the reason why it's a turnstile, people transfer in and then they turn around and transfer right back out. And Deion has the, you know, everybody wants to be his buddy and pal, so nobody's going to say anything bad about him. That, yeah, I do think that.
I'm pretty sure Joel Klatt's drawing him a bath right now.
I mean, it basically sounds like the way Suge Knight ran Death Row Records.
Okay, so you've hit on something. Now, I admit this. I loved the idea of Deion Sanders because I'm in the interesting business. Deion coaching a team is interesting. But what I've seen so far, when you get beyond Gus and Joel, you know, giving Deion a massage every week, and we look at the actuality of it, I can't tell you how disappointed I am. Because the one thing is, I remember when he was at Jackson State, always harping on players about discipline and harping on players about you have to be better men off the field, like real stuff. And I went, cool. Like, all right, this could work. There's none of that now. Mm-mm. Now it's all just the loud stuff. So here's my question to you, right? So I was.
And if you say anything, well, you're just being a hater.
That's the media who does that. You know it. You know it. Especially with those two Muppet babies that call Fox Big Noon. Before Cookies died, I said to him, I am leaning Colorado under this year. Their over-under is set at 5.5. Listen to this schedule. No, Cookies isn't dead. He just can't talk. He'll be back Monday. You tell me. Now, they're going to open up with what could be considered the number one FCS team. 1AA, North Dakota State. Then they're going to Nebraska. Then they're going to Colorado State. Then they're going to take on Baylor, who's ass. Then they're going to the bounce house, UCF. Then they're taking on a K-State team that's the favorite to win the Big 12 along with Utah. At Arizona, at Cincy, at Tech, home against Utah, who will dump truck them. Then they go at Kansas, which will be Arrowhead because they're not playing home games. And then they're going Okie State to finish the year. Rico, I can't find 5-6 wins in there.
No. And Mike, if everything is true, if any elements of these stories are true, they start losing, this team will fall apart because then it's just going to be us versus them.
Then here's
Deion's
my question.
Favorites versus the guys that, you know, aren't his biological
son. And this is my question to you, right? You bring Deion Sanders to run your program, and I'm willing to put up with a lot. Next year, Shadur's gone, Shiloh's gone, Justin Hunter's gone, right? Who's left? He's not recruiting. He has not taken a single recruiting visit. Not one. Mm-hmm. You can read about this.
Well,
not
and the
one.
Fact that he said, no, once Hunter and my son leave, I'm staying. That's the kiss of death. You're really leaving. Because once your kids are gone, you don't care about this team. It's like David coaching his son, and once his son moves on, I don't care about you other guys. Well, I don't care about my kids.
That's what it feels like.
Yes.
Look. I was all in favor of it.
Colorado handed him the keys, and I think this is going to be one of those things where Colorado's going to kind of feel like Michigan State did. Maybe we rewarded Mel Tucker too soon. Maybe we gave Deion the keys too soon, and we did not make him earn it.
I'm fascinated by them. I mean, if he has a nice season, respect. But, boy, I'll tell you, as this thing starts year two after I thought it was a brutal year one. They were very fortunate not to be 2-10. If you watch the games,
yeah.
They went 4-8. The reports, what's leading up to this, and then that schedule, I'm like, okay. David, a few ticket texts, if you would, and then we'll get back to the Lions.
Perfect word, disappointed. The Buffs program is simply a dumpster fire, and it will take years for someone at some point to try and fix it.
I am bummed out by it. I want Deion to succeed because I'm in the interesting business. He is interesting to me. Like, a lot of these coaches are not.
I'm going to pour out a bottle of Ragu in memory of Jim Costa tonight.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Bring some Mastaccioli to the celebration of life for James Anthony Costa. Mastaccioli.
Someone saying, I don't know what to believe with Colorado because there are people saying that story is fake. I don't know what to believe,
but it
doesn't look good.
I agree with you. I stay in the middle on this. Rico's right. It's so salacious.
But when things are just that over the top, a lot of they're true because it's you don't make this type of stuff up. And David, I'm not trying to be funny, but yes, going back to the spyglasses. And wait, you went and visited other teams and you did. Nobody does that except for somebody actually did that. So, yeah, when the story's too over the top, I tend to believe it. Just like, case in point, just so people, I'm not bad. Okay, would you stop it?
Okay.
No, it's like when I think State had just played Richmond, and I got a phone call at 1 a.m. Hey, have you heard about Mel Tucker? What? That's crazy. And I heard the story, and I'm like, God, I think this may be true because it's so crazy. Turned out to be true. So I say that to say when something is just so over the top, I give it a lot of credibility, especially when it comes to college sports. Hey, there's a guy driving the AD's car, his wife's car.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like something out of The Program, right?